Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Today's episode is sponsored by ByHeart, which is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. In our house, we never skim on family time together on the weekends. Instead of racing around crazy, we prioritize time at home, time to relax, time to do fun, crazy things that we wouldn't have ordinarily. And you know who else doesn't skim? ByHeart. ByHeart is the only American-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk without a drop of skim. Whole milk is full of healthy fats like naturally occurring MFGM, which play an important role in babies' brain development and growth. Are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code name Zibby20 for a limited time. Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm also the host of Moms Don't Have Time to Lose Weight, and I'm the editor of the anthology, which you should run out and buy, called Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology. All proceeds of that book go to COVID-19 vaccine research. And I'm the editor-in-chief of Moms Don't Have Time To Write, a new publication on Medium, and we're accepting submissions, so please send your personal essays there. And if all that isn't enough, you can follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is zibbyowens.com. Okay, now back to this amazing podcast. Thanks so much to Shoshana for sponsoring today's episode. At Shoshana, they're celebrating their 20th year of swimwear, which is great because I remember when it first came out in 2001 and the industry was still selling swimwear just as sets. And Shoshana knew that from her experience that women are not always the same size on the top as they are on the bottom. So she set out to make a whole new collection that was inclusive of more women and sizes and was honestly the first to introduce the concept of selling tops and bottoms separately, as well as using bra cup sizing in the swim industry, which seems like such an obvious idea. And of course, like, it's not. And she created it, and it's amazing because all of this has now become industry standard. And you can, you know, find everything this way, but you didn't used to be able to. And now she has a line even for kids, sizes 2T to up to 12. Anyway, I love Shoshana's dresses. I'm literally wearing one right now as I record the sponsor message that I love. It's like blue and white striped at the top and a long blue frilly skirt. And I'm just such a huge fan of Shoshana the person and Shoshana the company. So definitely go check out everything that they are doing. Also, if you want a discount on Shoshana, you get 25% off the whole site, which is amazing. And now I think I actually have to go do that. The code is BOOKCLUB25, and it's valid from May 11th to May 25th. So if you go to shoshana.com and you type in the code at the end, BOOKCLUB25, you will get 25% off everything. I highly recommend the dresses, which are oh so flattering, and of course, being able to shop the swimsuits. Thanks, Shoshana. Naomi Davis is the author of A Coat of Yellow Paint, Moving Through the Noise to Love the Life You Live. Naomi Davis was named a Forbes Top 10 Parenting Influencer. She shares happy and helpful stories across her social media channels and award-winning website. What started in 2007 as an online journal about her newlywed life in New York City while a Juilliard dance student, Love Taza, has amassed a loyal following, reaching millions around the world. Now Naomi continues to inspire audiences with vibrant photos, engaging videos, and heartfelt words that document her adventures parenting five, that's five if you didn't hear me right, 5 young children traveling near and far, celebrating life's simple joys and finding purpose in the everyday. Welcome, Naomi. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss A Coat of Yellow Paint.
Yes, thank you for having me.
This is such a delight. I felt like your book, it could have been us just like sitting at coffee. And I was like, well, now I have to tell you like all my stuff.
Yes, please do.
No,
I love hearing that. I wanted it. I wanted it to feel that way because I just really love the chance to connect that way where it doesn't feel, I love hearing that it felt great. To approachable, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Yep. So thank you.
You're welcome. So you started blogging like before blogging was even a thing. It was like 2007 and you got going, and in the book you said it was a way to connect with people back home when you went to Juilliard, and yeah. It like hasn't stopped since. So tell me about sort of the evolution of blogging and how you've built this really amazing following and how it has culminated in this book.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about, right? Because in 2007, there wasn't even social media or brand partnerships, or just this whole birth has happened since then of really an entire industry. So I feel really lucky with my timing. I feel lucky that I started when I did, because I think that the root of why I shared how I shared back then has been able to really keep me grounded in that sort of sense, even to this day, as this world has just like so evolved since. But I feel so fortunate. It was just a happy accident in 2007 that I think it was like word of mouth back in that day that you would find blogs. And so yeah, 5 kids later, still going strong. And I really do enjoy being able to share and connect with people all over the world. It's bananas to think about how we can use a platform like that and feel like I have like BFFs that I've never actually met in person, you know, across the ocean. So yeah.
The other day I was meeting up with, now that we can finally sort of meet up with some people, I had a friend come over and my kids were like, well, how do you know her? I'm like, she's my friend from the internet. And they're like, what? You're not supposed to like meet random people on the internet. I'm like, but these are all the people.
I know. It's like, I'm going to have to talk to you about all the safety things because yeah. I don't know how this necessarily is going to come off when I say this, but I've met some of my closest and dearest friends. And in the book, I actually talk about how our first visitor to the hospital when my little one Eleanor was born, we literally met because of a comment she left on my blog 1 million years ago, and a friendship just really blossomed. And she threw my baby shower and I threw her baby shower, and you know, she lives all the way in England right now. But it's just amazing how we can feel intertwined and connected despite. So it can be a really beautiful thing sometimes.
I feel like that about books. Like books I read 20 years ago that I read and I was like, oh my gosh, like this person would be my best friend. Some of them are now really close friends of mine.
Oh, I love that.
Because it's true. Anyway,
yes.
It's just funny how you end up connecting. Anyway, so this coat of yellow paint, which you named after the piano that you maniacally painted in the middle of the night or something like that, this beautiful color yellow. And by the way, I love that you paint all sorts of walls, different colors. I'm like
huge
in the color myself.
Well, I'm dying over behind you, your beautiful rainbow wall of books.
Oh, thank you. Cool. Yes, I did that.
Gorgeous. I love it.
No, downstairs, our living room is like hot pink and I'm like all into color. So I just love it. And I love how someone said to you about your Instagram that like the colors of your home made her eyes hurt or something. And you were like, but that's my life.
Well, it's so funny because sometimes we get these comments and I talked a lot in my book about the internet because I do think it's really hard for us sometimes to understand how to separate something that someone's going to say to you. It's like, you don't even know that person. And if you met them in the street and they came up to you and like said the critique that they're saying, are you going to completely change your life and base all your future decisions off of some random thing? No, you're not. But sometimes we feel this sense of like, well, they're like, they have authority because they just said this to me through their keyboard in some place that I don't even know. And so it's funny. And I think, you know, it takes me a lot of time sometimes still too, but you have to look at it and be like, but you don't live here. If my walls make your eyes hurt, I think that's okay. Like, you don't have to deal with it. I do. And this makes me happy. So, you know, I think we're both good. But it's good to always kind of have that check-in and be like, why am I taking this so seriously? Or why am I giving so much weight to some funny opinion that, like, someone, you know, like, Glass Jar 77 said? I don't even know this person. So...
I feel like that is one of the big themes in this book, is sort of taking all this input and
putting it in the place where it deserves to be, not front and center in your mind, which is so tempting. And it even started with when you decided to have kids. And so young, right? You got married before you graduated from college. And I can't speak to how happy you are, but it sounds from the book that it sounds like you guys are still happy. And that you tried for 2 years to get pregnant and people were dismissing your concerns because you were young. Like, oh, well, what are you doing having kids so young? So tell me about having people sort of on your shoulder your whole life and how you've learned to put them where they belong.
Yeah, it's definitely a big theme in the book because I think it's taken me a lot of time and experience to finally find my footing or my confidence in the fact that I have done a couple things a more untraditional or unconventional way. So, you know, I was at Juilliard and I got married 2 days after my 21st birthday. I still had a year left of school. And that was so misunderstood and confusing to my director, family, a lot of people. And then choosing to start trying for a family straight away, that especially felt difficult. It felt really isolating just because I was in such a different phase of life now from so many of my closest girlfriends, so many people around me. And when it's so dismissed, something that you really want and you believe is valid, but it's not valid because of your age. Like, it's like, okay, so when can I want this thing too in life? Like, when am I allowed to vocalize that without having X, Y, and Z, all of these people, close people, anyone just be like, oh, that's just so silly. It'll happen when it happens. Or you're so young, you have so much time. Why would you even want that right now? I really learned to just compartmentalize it in a way and say like, okay, well, like back then I just did not have the tools to understand that like the feedback, the constant feedback that we get, despite whatever it is we're going through, it's a lot when you don't know how to handle it, when you don't know how to take it and say, but this is what I want. And it's a worthy cause, or I think that it's good, or I shouldn't have to defend or explain myself. And I just didn't know how to do that. And it was really, really hard. And I swore back then, and even up to a couple of years ago, I was like, I don't think I could ever talk about this publicly because it hasn't been understood even by like my closest circle. But I think over the years, as I've gained some tools, I've realized like, No. You can absolutely carve the path that you want in this life. And nobody else gets a say when, you know, if you're hurting, your hurt is valid. Or if you're confused or you want something. I think it's so beautiful how unique each of our paths are. And I think sometimes maybe it's scary for somebody when they realize that you're going to do something very different from how they think it maybe should look or how it looked for them. So I was really hopeful that by sharing, even though it's hard for me sometimes, like as the book released, it just rebubbled up a lot of those same emotions from back then where I'm like, oh shoot, is this going to be a phase two of me feeling everything again? But I really do. And it's amazing how I've had so many comments or emails from people who have had very similar experiences, even, you know, trying to get pregnant young or something completely a 180, but they're like, oh, wow, I feel really seen right now. Thank you. And so I think that I'm hopeful that it can help somebody feel less alone because we shouldn't have to feel that way, you know, despite the way that we do things, however different they might be from the next.
So funny, I did an event last night with Melissa Bernstein, who wrote this book called Lifelines.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of it. Anyway, she said the same thing, that once she had put it out into the world, she was like, oh no, like, because hers was more about existential depression and how she dealt with that and whatever, and how she's gotten a handle on it. And then with like the 10,000 emails she got, she was like, oh my God. And she's like, I felt myself getting into the old patterns, but now it was because of the book. And the book was supposed to be talking about how I'd gotten over the old pattern. So
I know. It's this funny. And I felt that too. And it was important that my tone, I was like, I don't want this to come across as like, I figured this out and these are the steps and this is how you do it. Because I still struggle a lot sometimes with all of this noise around me of just, you know, we were in this day and age where we're raising our little ones and there's people can weigh in from literally anywhere in a way. And regardless of that, we're just so connected, which is such a great thing, but it also can be kind of detrimental if we allow it to just, you know, like, are you putting your phone at your bedside table before bed? Are you checking it the first thing in the morning? Like, are you allowing that feedback to just always surround you? And as I've learned to, you know, place it aside and really live my life, I think sometimes I can still see myself going back to being like, oh wait, why am I caring so much? Or, you know, why am I allowing these little tiny things to take such hold? So yeah, it's amazing how our brains work, and we revert right back to those things.
I shouldn't even admit this, but this morning, so I wrote this article recently about how I'm a little older than my husband, and I've started aging. Like, I'm 44 and he's like still in his 30s, and he has not really started aging at all. And I sort of have. And so I wrote this piece about it, and somebody commented like, you know, it's time for women to stop like this ageist society and da, 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 da. And I found myself this morning when I was like in the midst of like boxes of Life cereal and like getting the kids ready, like being like, wait, I just have to finish this. As I emailed her back, like on the comments, like, no, here's what I was trying to do. Like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah.
I'm putting my own family life on hold and like jeopardizing on time departure.
So right.
I can talk to a complete stranger from, I don't even know where she lives and what her, right. going on in her. Anyway, so I get it. I'll just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, tell me about writing this book. Tell me about, I know a lot of it were sort of essay-ish type pieces, even the beautiful one you wrote about life in 2020 and wrapping the plans to learn Italian or Spanish. I think it was.
Yeah.
And instead learning the vocabulary of pandemia or whatever.
Yes. Yep.
Tell me about how this became a book and the writing process behind it.
I feel I've always loved writing, and I feel so fortunate with the blog. It's just been so fun to kind of do like do, do, do. And I've just, you know, it's been very, very casual, the format and just the way I've done it. And I approached it. And I was pregnant with my last two in 2018. I was halfway through my pregnancy, and I sat down to write a blog post one morning. I think it was 20 weeks, but you know, I mean, pregnancy is just, it can be a lot. And my twin pregnancy really, really took everything out of me. I remember sitting there and I was just like, my back was cramping, and I was in like this throbbing pain and trying to just hone in on what I wanted to write. And I realized there were just so many hours that passed. And as I looked at what I'd written and I was reading it back, I was kind of surprised myself, because they were more intimate and vulnerable essays or stories that turned into these essays that I didn't think I ever was actually going to open up about publicly. I held them really close to my heart. I wasn't ready for the world to weigh in. I talked about my crisis with faith that day when I was writing. I talked about finding out that we were having both baby A and baby B, that chapter, and then beginning to open up about my fertility experience. And I was like, I was so surprised. I was like, wait, what is happening right now? And I realized as I felt this pull, I really wanted to get it up. I wanted to share. I wanted to post it. I realized I wanted to give it its proper format so that I could really put it underneath this bigger umbrella of this messaging that I was trying to get across in what turned out to be, you know, like dozens of pages. That my blog posts have always been short and sweet. And I was like, I got to figure out how to do that. And I realized this was the start of my book. And I feel really fortunate. I was able to find incredible literary agents, and an imprint that really caught the vision and understood what it was I wanted to do and supported me with that instead of trying to, I think sometimes it can be really easy to be put into like a little bit of a box of like, oh, let's do it this way. And especially being a blogger and having shared publicly the way that I have, I didn't want it to be anything regurgitated. I didn't want to do like a blog to book type thing. I really wanted to do it this specific way. So I feel so fortunate I've had that support to be able to do that. It was a very challenging process too, though, because writing is so different from writing a book versus, you know, writing a blog post or an Instagram caption or something like that. So I learned an incredible amount during this process. And it just gets me excited because I hope to be able to, you know, use some of these new tools and gain more down the road just because I loved it, despite the fact that it was very challenging, especially in 2020, trying to write with, you know, all of these circumstances that were put on all of us. But I'm grateful it's done. There were many moments during that the last couple of months where I was like, I don't think this can happen. I don't know how I can find time to write without a child coming and stepping on my keyboard. So
what are some of the tricks and tools you made from changing from a blog post Instagram caption mentality to more of a book length with like an arc that has to
an arc? I know I had to go back and be like, oh, an arc. Oh, really? Oh, interesting. I don't write like that. No, I really truly had to sit down in the beginning. And you know, it took a minute in the beginning to sit down and realize what I want, how I wanted to say it, and not just to come flat out and say this, you know, but to kind of paint more of a story with it, which I actually really love to try to weave in a few of these experiences in a more storytelling format. But I think, you know, I feel really lucky that I was able to do it with, I had a great editor over at HarperCollins that was able to kind of sit down in the beginning and say, well, there's a lot of run-ons here. But she also was really sweet to say, I understand that that's, you're very conversationalist in the way that you write. And so we can keep that. And I didn't want to have to bring in a co-editor or a ghostwriter or anything like that. I was like, I know I have a lot of run-ons when I write, when I talk or when I, but I want this to be this way. We can polish it a little bit, but I really wanted it to keep that. And everyone was very gracious and let me do that. So.
So now that you've done that, do you have plans for another book? Or are you going to like wait till more things percolate, or what's the...
I have another book actually, but we haven't visited much of that yet. It's been, as we've been launching this one, everything's kind of just sit in the back of my head. Kind of, I haven't been able to think. And I know that we had a conversation a few weeks ago, actually, someone was like, we should probably visit that. And I was like, I don't think I can visit that for maybe another month. Let's put the brakes on that for a minute. But I am excited to maybe do something too a little bit different than this one. I loved doing essays, but I think it'd be fun to try to challenge myself with something else. So we'll see. But down the road, hopefully, yes.
Wow. Well, I just loved, as sort of a fellow New Yorker, and really appreciating what it must have been like, even the 5-floor walk up. My sister-in-law used to live in a 5-floor walk up, and even just like visiting her, I was like, ugh.
Like, I know, right?
Do I have the energy? I'm thinking about you with kids doing that and the groceries and like, you know, wasting away time so you didn't have to like tackle the stairs by like
one. I know. It's so funny though. I look back at that chapter. I think we were there for about five years. And it really is one of my fondest. Like I have such beautiful, vivid, happy memories in that 5th floor walk up, counting those 67 stairs up and down, pregnant with 2 little ones, then with 3. I mean, it really was, and I really was hopeful that, you know, whatever that sort of challenge looks like for you in your life, because obviously not everybody has to hike 67 stairs multiple times a day. I really think that when you reframe a challenge like that in your life as an adventure, or just being able to look at it and build it as a positive habit. Like I just, my kids, and I think that's what helped me with my mentality, is my kids never saw it as like, oh, we got to hike the stairs. Like they truly just grew up with the stairs and loved the stairs and the games we played on the stairs or whatever it was, that I just felt like we had built it into our daily routine as such a norm, you know? And I think that we all have that ability, but it's just how we look at it. So it's amazing because it really was like this tiny shoebox apartment that was our favorite, despite the fact that it really, it felt like, you know, we were doing some sort of gym circuit to get there every day.
Oh my gosh. But I love how you also reframed your body essentially, and how your daughter, I think, was telling you that your tummy was doughy and soft and warm and everything. And
from such a loving place,
I know,
right?
Yeah,
she was like, oh, I love your warm, soft, doughy tummy, mama. Right. But we as women we're like, wait, like, let me suck in. Let me like, hold on. Don't touch me. Like, I don't know. We put a lot on ourselves. I think society doesn't help sometimes, but I realize as I become a mother, especially that's a conversation I want to make sure I don't leave on the table, but that, you know, I want them to be able to celebrate what gifts our bodies are from a young age. And especially as I know that they probably will grow up and have, you know, complex relationships here or there as they navigate their own bodies and things like that. But I was like, I don't want to put all of my own insecurities, having grown up as a dancer, maybe in a household where it just wasn't necessarily a positive thing. I don't want to put that on them. And I think we forget that we easily can, even not meaning to, right? It's just with like a one-off comment or not wanting to get into the picture or jump into the pool with the swimsuit because we just don't feel ready or whatever it is. And so, yeah, that was also one that I was a little nervous. I was just like, I don't know. I know that I need to do this. It's important to me to share because I really feel grateful to have made that progress in my own journey, which didn't really happen until I became a mother, which I think is really interesting. So
I am so glad you shared that. You know, I've had twins, I've had four kids, like my tummy. But sometimes I think I've gone too far. Like I keep telling my kids whenever they like look at my stomach or something, like, no, I'm so proud of my stomach because that's how I got all of you. Without that, you know, yeah, I used to have a flattish stomach and that was fine, but I would much rather have you. And my daughter, we had a play date the other day and she's like, do you want to see my mom's stomach?
Because oh, I
what
love
happened
it.
To her? Because
oh,
she had four
she
kids.
Loves you.
Like, no. Like, it's okay. Don't pull up my shirt. I mean, I'm all for it, you know, but
that's
like
so sweet.
Anyway.
But that's it right there. Like she looks at you and you are her safety, you are her comfort, she loves looking at her mom and she loves your tummy. And that like I think that's just if we could all look at ourselves the way that our children see us, you know, I think we would all feel a lot more confident in what beautiful beings we are, you know? So, oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
And your other message in the book that was also so relevant and so great is this whole thing of just being a mom, right? I had many years when I wasn't working out of the house and, you know, I'd go to like a dinner party or something and I feel like, well, I'm just at home, you know, I'm just at home with my twins or whatever. And I don't know. I felt so much, especially the men were just like, oh, okay. And then they like didn't know what to talk to me about.
Yeah.
Luckily, I really like to ask questions. So I'm like, okay, back to you. But I always felt so bad about myself, right? Like, oh, I have nothing to add to this conversation now. Or like, you know, despite the fact that I was working so hard all day.
Yes, 24/7.
He was probably sitting at his desk, you know, reading sports online, pretending to do banking or whatever he was doing. Anyway.
I do. I love that you say that because I do really think like we are so lucky in this day and age as women, right? Like we can really carve our own paths and find our identities outside of the home as well. But that was so important to me because as I heard it more and more with people introducing themselves and saying that, I don't believe we should put it so far down the list of like important titles that you have to say, like, I'm just a mom or like, oh, you know, I'm just at home or I'm like, wait a second. No. So I think it's, and I think it's such, I love one of the women who endorsed my book, actually, Elaine Dalton. She's also an author and she actually put in her kind of her title of introducing herself, mother, author, speaker, whatever. And I thought, I was like, that's beautiful that you place that before any of your other titles. And it, especially as with my messaging and everything else, I just was like, I love that to introduce yourself and put that importance there along with everything else that you're carrying, but to make sure that has space and proper space, because it is like, we forget it is such valuable work and full-time work around the clock that I don't know what's more important. So, yeah.
Yeah. Amen to that. So last question, what advice would you have for aspiring authors?
Oh, But I think my biggest thing, I'm very much a perfectionist. And a lot of times I felt really pulled with some of these essays. I was like, I know that I need to do this. But sometimes I can find a lot of excuses because I want it to be right. And I think it applies to like a lot of other things I've done in my life too, where sometimes you're like, oh, I really want to do that thing, but like, I need to make sure I have the proper time to give it, or I need to make sure that like, you know, everything's in its place so that I can do that and share that the way I want it to happen. But life is bonkers. And it's just, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going to be in 5 years sometime, right? Like I just think sometimes it's important to give yourself that grace and just do it. And I think we are so good, at least myself, speaking from my own experience of coming up with a lot of excuses or saying like, you know, maybe I just put this on pause. Maybe I hold it or whatever it is. But if you want to do it, you can do it. You can find the 10 minutes or 20 minute pockets here or there to start at it and work at it. And I know that I do believe there's a season for everything, but you just go, just do it. And don't let the little circus in your head hold you back. So
love it. Don't let the little circus in your head hold you back. That's a good one. All right. Well, Naomi, thank you. It was so nice to meet you.
It was great to meet you too. And I'm going to go change my bookcase in the other room. I don't know if I have enough. You have lots of yellow books.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I do.
So I'm going to have to add to my collection.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Take
have
care.
A good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks again to Shoshana for sponsoring today's episode and for giving 25% off site-wide for our listeners today with code BOOKCLUB25. Go pick up a swimsuit or a beautiful dress or something and treat yourself. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.